Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we are going a little bit more technical, I will say, because it's all about our brain and how our brain works. Now, I really love getting into this sort of nitty-gritty, and I hope you do, because we are going to go deep to get an understanding of how we can lighten things up a little bit, you know, how we can overcome some of our problems, how we can sort through things. And Liam's going to take us through that. But before I introduce you to Liam, I would love you to subscribe, like, or share the podcast, get it out there so everyone can hear. We're really starting to get ahead now in numbers, and it's lovely. But reach out, connect with us. That's why we come on the podcast. That's why we have the guests. We have it all there so you can connect and get some understanding or ask questions and seek some advice if that's what you're looking for. So the Voice of Intuition is coming to you from Susan Jane, and today we are going to bring forward Liam. Now, Liam is a speaker, teacher, writer, and a researcher. So he's got all that knowledge and that understanding in the background. I'm not going to go right through it because he's got this amazing technique we're going to share. I'm not going to go right through it because I want Liam to introduce himself and for you to get to know Liam. So welcome on board, Liam.
Hi, Susan. Thank you very much. It's great to be here talking with you.
Yeah. Don't worry. We're going to pick your brain because you're all about brains. So we can do that. But let's get an understanding of your background first, Liam, and what led you to where you are now? Because you are a speaker, a teacher, a writer, a researcher. You do all this sort of stuff. How did you get there and why did you get there?
Okay, well, a defining moment for me actually was in my mid-40s when I woke up almost overnight going from being a millionaire to losing absolutely everything, becoming homeless. And I had to move in with my elderly mother, sleep on the sofa in her living room. And the most surprising thing for me about all of that, because it was a bit of a harrowing experience, was I asked myself, why has this happened to me? Because before that, I'd spent most of my life really looking for the answers of how to be successful, how to be happy, how to be the best person I could be. And I'd done all sorts of things from study religion to lots of self-help. I'd been to seminars and all over the world. I'd read lots of books. I'd been on courses, did lots of things. I studied lots of spiritual practices, meditation, and all sorts of other spiritual traditions and ideas, if you like. And I was continually looking for that question, how can I be the best that I can be? So when I ended up losing everything, I thought, but hang on here, how could this have happened? Because I have so much knowledge about how to set goals, how to achieve goals, how to take control of your thoughts and take control of your life, if you like. This should never have happened. And I was literally completely had no control over my life. So what I did then was, after I worked my way through the mess of getting over being homeless and got back on my feet, as it were, what I started to notice was that things were very different for me. My life was turning out in quite a different way. And whereas before I'd spent all of this effort trying to chase after success, trying to be more successful, setting goals for myself, trying harder and harder, and in the process, getting very stressed, having lots of problems, making lots of mistakes, and thinking, well, maybe this is just what success is. But instead of that, my new life after losing everything, I noticed that things were coming to me much more. Opportunities were coming. People were coming. Ideas on what to do to set up businesses and to make money, and to do it in a way that I really enjoyed. And not just making money, but doing other things in my life that I really enjoyed. And my life was going so much better. And I thought one day, you know, one of the weird things is I'm actually really happy. I wasn't before. I was stressed. I was always feeling out of control of my life. But I actually feel really happy. And I've got everything I want. I'm doing the things that I love. And one of the strangest things of all, I don't really have any problems or stress. Things are flowing really well in my life. So this felt so different to what had gone before that I thought, I want to figure this out. I want to know what I'm doing right because I want to keep doing it. I want to make sure I don't stop doing this. So
absolutely. I just want to jump in there because you said you went from being very, very well to do to homeless and living on your mother's couch. You mentioned that it was harrowing. Now, honestly, I could put a lot more explicitives in that because that is a huge, huge change. Yeah. And was it something that you just didn't see happening or seeing coming through?
I didn't really see it coming, but in hindsight, I realized why it had happened. It was really the combination or the culmination of quite a few bad decisions that I'd made, both personally and business-wise. Because okay. I had several businesses on the go at the time. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've actually had, I think, 18 businesses in my life so far. So it was a combination of all of those things that really all came to a head that brought that thing.
Okay, right. Yeah, yeah. And we can do that, can't we? So where you're saying it was your business and your life and everything else coming to this peak or this head, and that other people can experience it. They don't have to be as dramatic as that. Like losing everything is pretty dramatic. And we've had guests on here that have nearly lost their life and everything else. So when we're having these aha moments, these epiphanies that all can look quite negative, it doesn't necessarily mean the life has to stop. It can be flipped, and you've done that. So you've gone from this stressy area here, you've had this oh shit moment, and now you're actually noticing that life is actually better for you.
Absolutely. It was completely different. It was a completely different life. So, and all of the things that I believed that success had to be a struggle, it just turned out not to be true. So as I say, I wanted to figure out what I was doing differently. And that's what led me on to really trying to ask myself, well, what is the purpose of my life? How can I figure out who I am? And even though I had all this knowledge of spirituality and self-help and religion and all of these things suggesting, giving hints at the answers, I thought I'm going to start at the beginning here and ask myself a really basic question. Who am I and what am I doing here? Why am I here? And I thought, it occurred to me that many people have throughout history have been attempting to answer that question. And we can have all sorts of different opinions and ideas about what our purpose to be here is. But there's one thing we can all agree on, and that is we live in a biological, physical body, and we live in a physical world. We're part of a living species that's part of a living world. So I thought, well, okay, so what's my biological purpose? I must have a purpose for being in this physical body or a way that it operates. And it turns out that if you look at biological science and ask that question, they have answered that. And they say that the purpose of your life and all biological life is to survive and thrive. In other words, that means to be the best that you can be, to give the greatest chances for your survival and to continue the survival of the species. That is the purpose of all life, including your own. So I thought, well, that's pretty interesting, because what comes out of that is something that many people have forgotten or don't realize, but is totally logical. If your purpose is to survive and thrive, in other words, to be the best that you can be so you have the greatest chances for survival, that just doesn't mean physically, you know, because obviously when you're physically strong and you're able to resist disease or fight off attackers or you heal faster from injury or whatever, but it also means mentally, spiritually, and emotionally being your best. Because when you're at your best mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, what are you? You're your most creative, your most resourceful, your most intuitive, you come up with better solutions on how to improve your own life and the life of other people around you. So what all that points to is that's when you're actually happy as well. That's when you're being your happiest. So your biological purpose is to be happy. It's not to have problems. It's not to have stress, because stress and problems don't help you live longer. They don't help you survive better. So they're not part of your biological purpose. So I thought, well, that's really interesting. So why are most people not happy? If our reason for being here, our purpose is to be happy, what can possibly be the reason why most people aren't? Why do most people, and like I used to, live in a lot of stress and anxiety a lot of the time? And I thought, well, let's figure out this. Well, the next question I asked was, okay, so if my purpose is to be biologically the best that I can be, to give me the greatest chance for survival, in other words, be the happiest, has nature provided anything for that to happen? Do I have any tools, resources, anything about me that is designed to make that happen? Because it wouldn't make sense that I have a purpose and yet there wasn't all the tools there to make that happen. And it turns out, of course, there is a tool there that's designed specifically to make you survive and thrive and be the best and happiest you can be. And that's your brain. And your brain is literally a biological machine that's designed to do that. Its whole purpose is to make sure you survive and thrive on every level. So, and then I started to look into the brain and realize this is an enormously powerful machine. It's far more powerful than any other computer. But the other interesting thing about it, although it's vastly powerful and it has this purpose to make you the happiest and best you can be, it is actually a machine. It actually functions in a very specific, methodical, exact way to operate to do that. But when you think about it, and a comparison I like to use is a motor car. I mean, everyone has a car, or most people do, and we all know what a car is. It's a machine with a very specific function or purpose, and that is to get you from where you are to where you want to go easily, predictably, enjoyably, comfortably. And you know that if you use it the right way, it's going to get you there. It's what it's designed to do. That's the purpose of a car, nothing else. So, but if you get into a car and it's not working right, then it's not going to do its job properly. And if you've got problems operating that car, you've got to ask yourself, what am I doing wrong that's not making it work properly?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, the other really strange thing about this is if someone said to you, right, here's a motor, you want to go somewhere, this is the way you do it. You get in the car and you drive it. But you say, but I don't know how to drive it. And they say, well, of course you don't, but you've got to be taught how to drive it. You wouldn't dream of getting in a motor car and driving it anywhere if you didn't know how it worked. So you would learn how to do it. And you would know that instead of getting in and saying, well, what are all these levers for? I don't know, or these buttons. I need to figure out what to do. Now, some people might say, okay, I don't know how to drive this, but I'm going to figure it out myself. Ah, I know. It's got wheels. I'll get up and I'll stand behind it and I'll push. And I'll push it. Maybe that's the way it works. And I'll put in all of this effort and struggle, but I'll be really determined and motivated, and I'll pray to God to help me in my journey, and I'll get it to where I want to go by. Maybe that's the way I'm supposed to use it. And what happens? If it moves at all, it's a struggle, and it just ends up damaging you. You get stressed, tired, you get exhausted. And you might say in your ignorance, oh, well, the problem is me. I'm not strong enough. I need to be stronger. I need to be more motivated so I can push this car even harder. And it all sounds crazy, doesn't it? But if we knew that all we needed to do was learn how to get in, do a few things, and it would do its job and get us to where we want to go, we would say, well, that's the logical thing to do. So it turns out the brain is exactly the same. It's a machine. It's designed specifically to make you the best that you can be so that you survive and thrive to the best of your ability. So if you have any problems in your life, it makes sense that it's simply the case. And if that's not doing that for you, you're just using it the wrong way. And the reason you're using it the wrong way is nobody's ever taught you how to use it the right way. Simple as that. So I've really spent the rest of my time teaching a model of how your brain works, simplifying all of the science, but it's all provable by science how your brain works, there are four parts of the brain, actually, which I can get into and explaining maybe and how it all works. But really showing people this model for the brain so that when people realize this, the first thing they say is, well, that's so logical. That why would I use it any other way? I need to learn how why I'm not using it the right way. Yeah. And then it goes on for there, on from there. And then people can start to suddenly, like I did, live the life they're supposed to live, not be fighting fires all the time, but living the life of surviving and thriving, like we're all supposed to.
So I love that term. Yeah. I love that analogy that you, that you're using with the car, because it does make sense. When we're trying to force something, and I've seen it in a lot of ways, when we're trying to force something to work because we're doing it in the wrong manner, it does create even more drama and even more stress. And we see that all the time in our health, in all areas of our life. So getting an understanding of how it works properly is really going to be the key for this, isn't it? So when you're going to explain how it works, when we get that understanding, then we've sort of got the key. It's basically the manual, the handbook, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, I really love this. All right, so if you want to connect with Liam too, his website is www.liamnaden.com. So it's LIAMNADEN.com. So sorry, Liam, I just had to get that across, because although we video this, our listeners don't always see the little ticker tape going down the bottom. So let's go into the next stage. You're going to actually describe how the brain works, or the functioning of the brain. Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Go for it.
So as I say, the model that I've created on how the brain works, this is all based on science, and it's been scientifically proven to be true, but I have simplified it by taking out all of the technical terms, because like with a car, you don't need to know all the names of all the wires and what all the technical terms. You just need to know a few basic principles on how to use that car machine the right way, and it'll function perfectly fine for you. And it's the same with your brain, because it's complicated on one level, but on another level, it's simple enough for you. It's designed for you to be able to use it. So it is simple. It's not that complicated. So anyway, how your brain works is you have four parts to your brain, and they're all located in different parts of your head. These are physical parts of your brain, and they all have a different function. The first part is what I call the thinking brain, and this is located on the top of your head, sometimes called the neocortex, if you want some technical word for it. But anyway, what the thinking brain does, it takes all of the information that is coming to you through your five senses. In other words, what you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch, and all your thoughts. In every moment, it's taking in all that information, and it's storing it in this part of your brain. So your thinking brain is like a library or a database of all of your knowledge, all of your past experience, and everything that you've picked up in your life and you are continuing to pick up in every moment. That's the first part. The second part is your feeling brain or your emotional brain. And this is just a bit lower inside your head, but this is responsible for giving you the feelings that you have, the emotions, everything from feeling loving, happy, grateful, to the other end, fearful, afraid, worried, stressed, anxious, all of those things. So this is all produced and directed by your emotional brain. It's a separate place from your thinking brain. Okay. The third part of your brain, the back of your head, it's called your survival brain. And this part of your brain, as the name suggests, looks after everything to keep you alive. So it's everything mechanical, basically. So things like all of the organs in your body, your heart beating, your breathing, all of the other organs doing their job, this is all managed by your survival brain. But there's one really other important part of your survival that is managed by the survival brain. And you might have heard of it called the fight, flight, or freeze instinct. Yes. It's like a reaction. And the purpose of this part of this function of the survival brain is that, remember I said right at the beginning, your purpose is to survive and thrive. In other words, to be happy and being the best that you can be. So your life, the way your brain is designed to make you live, is that's the way you are most of the time. But there's only one time when you're not supposed to be like that. And that is if something comes at you that is an immediate threat to your survival, or something that could harm you in this moment. You know, there's the analogy of in prehistoric times, the lion rushes out at you from behind the trees.
Yes.
So in that instance, you don't want to be happy, or you can't be happy and creative and doing all those things. Your brain has to deal with that immediate danger and get rid of it so that you can go back to being happy and thriving, as it were. So what your brain does, it sends a signal which kicks in the feeling of fear and anxiety, stress, all of those things, to say, you have an immediate danger here that you have to deal with. So all of the resources of your brain are diverted into dealing with that immediate threat. So if it's something coming at you, you're going to shout out for help, or you might run away or stand and fight and try to protect yourself. But whatever you do, it's going to be an instinctual, it's not a thinking thing, is it? We've all had these experiences, we know. So yes, it's just something that your brain is doing, your survival brain is doing it. It's basically saying, what do I need to do right now to get you out of this danger, to react? Mm. And that's absolutely brilliant, because that's the way it should be. But here's the interesting thing is that, or one of the things that happens is your brain, instead of being happy, it focuses on everything the negative in your environment. It's focused on where is the danger, where is the threat? I need to make sure that there are no threats to my life right here. I need to find them all. So it's very fixated on negativity and problems and danger. And that's fine. I mean, you don't want to be, if the lion's running at you, you don't want to ignore the snake in the grass as well. You know, you want to know if that's there as well. So that's your survival brain. Absolutely brilliant for what it does. There's a fourth part of the brain, though, and science has only more recently discovered that this is a separate part of your brain, and this has a separate function, and it's what I call your creative brain. Mm-hmm. Now, your creative brain is where your intuition comes from, actually. It's where your creativity comes from, your imagination, your big picture awareness of things. It's where your gut feelings, which is like your intuition, isn't it, where you think, maybe I shouldn't do that, or maybe I should do that, or that person there, I know I'm going to marry them, or that house, I know I'm going to buy it, even though you don't, you know, it's where all these new ideas, and they're not really thoughts, they're not things that come from your past experience, they're new ideas.
Yes.
And you know, the people who create things, painters say, I saw the painting and I painted it, or composers say, I heard the music and I just wrote it down. They don't know where it comes from. It's not from their past experience. It's this whole different part of creativity. And it's also where your motivation comes from. Because remember, this is the part where you're feeling good. So you feel really motivated. So you become a lot more productive in this state. And the other really interesting thing about this, the creative brain, what it does for you, is that on one level, we think that there's luck in random events that happened to us. But remember, our brain is almost infinite in its power, and its job is to bring you everything you need to thrive as well as survive. So that part of the brain, there's no such thing as luck. So it brings to you coincidences, synchronicities, chance events, people, circumstances, situations, ideas that you think that are there to serve you and to make you, to improve your life so that you thrive. You know, they're not chance or random at all, or luck. This is all managed by the creative brain. So the whole point of your life is you're supposed to operate, when you're using your brain correctly, you're operating most of the time in your creative state, using your creative brain. And there have been words to describe this, like being in the flow, being in the zone. Religion sometimes talks about being enlightened. But we've always all had those times when things are just flowing, they're going well, things are all falling into place. And although we're putting an effort, it's not a struggle. And we haven't got problems. And it's like things are there to support us in really being happy. It's when we feel grateful and loving and all of those things. That's the way we're supposed to live. But here's something really interesting. That thing I was talking about, that survival instinct. Remember what happens? When your brain sees something that it says is an immediate danger, it switches you into that state to deal with the immediate danger. But one of the things it does is it blocks off every part of your brain that isn't useful for dealing with that immediate threat, that immediate danger. And guess what isn't useful? Your creative brain. Absolutely. Your imagination, resourcefulness, different ideas, all your gratitude, all of those things, they're of absolutely no use to you when you've got to react to the lion running at you from the jungle. So that's absolutely perfect. You don't want to be appreciating your environment when a lion's about to eat you. You'd be dead. But here's the problem, and the reason why most people are, well, many people are using their brain the wrong way, is that if you're feeling fear, anxiety, worry, stress, what's actually happening in your brain is, for some reason, your brain is interpreting your environment as a threat to your survival. It's saying to you, there's something here that could kill you right here, right now, even though there isn't most of the time. But this is what your brain has been, you've trained it to think, mm-hmm. or to imagine. So there you are, living a life with problems and stress, and you're living out of the part of your brain that hasn't got the solutions, that cannot solve those problems, that cannot give you your ideal life. That's all in your creative brain. All of the solutions to everything about what you should do, the decisions you should make, the people you should meet, that and the ideas you should have, that's all in your creative brain. So you can't access that from when you're feeling fear, stress, worry. It's impossible. So this is the breakthrough moment when I realized this, is that fear is the enemy. If you're feeling bad, what you have to realize is, on a physical level, you're blocking out the resources that your brain has to stop you feeling bad, to bring in the solutions to what you want. So fear is the enemy. And make sense?
Yeah. Sorry, I've just jumped in. Because I really like how you've described that, the thinking brain to start with, and that's what, I mean, I've written it down. I'm taking notes, sorry, Liam, as I'm going. But I see that as the thinking brain is what we're receiving, that information that we're receiving from our five senses. So even watching a video on animals or something, we're taking in that information. So it's information we're gathering basically in the here and now, and we're storing that. The survival brain is almost stuff that we like you say, we have to have that fear, that flight, freeze, fight and freeze. Yeah. And that's, you know, some people have referred to that as like the reptilian brain. It keeps everything moving, keeps everything going. So it's almost like past, because we have to have that to start with. The thinking, we're learning as we go. The creative is almost like the future, isn't it? The creative side of it is where we can take our future. And the emotional brain is what's almost, to a certain degree, controlling the whole lot, isn't it?
Yes, well, the emotional brain is actually, I teach this in my coaching, in a much coaching program, much greater detail as to why this is the case, but it is actually controlled by your emotional brain. But the point is that your creative brain, this is your connection to infinite intelligence. This is this is the natural state you're supposed to live in, all which is blocked off when you're in a survival state, because your survival state is literally to deal with an immediate problem. It's not about creating your life. You don't create your life through your thoughts. This is why it struck me. Most people I've spoke to, if you really think about the major events that shape your life, they're never the result of you planning them in advance. People come to you unexpectedly. It might be the person you marry. It might be a business opportunity. We don't have as much control over planning our life as we like to think we do, because our creative brain knows what we want, knows what we need, but we need to trust that to do its job. And actually, it knows more, far more, than our thinking brain does. So if you're trying to plan your life using your thinking brain, it's never going to work, or you're never going to really be happy, because all you can reference is your past experience. And you say, well, somebody else was rich and they're happy, so maybe that's what I need to be happy, is to be rich. But that's not the part of your brain that works. It's not in there. It's in your creative brain.
That area of that emotional brain is controlling over all of them, in the fact that how you're thinking is going to be affected by your emotional brain, how you're thinking and what you're seeing and what you're living at this moment is all part of that emotional brain. It's going to affect that survival stuff because of the fear. It's going to click that in, and it is going to affect your creative because it's going to shut it down. So it's really, really important to when you're looking at that is to being aware of how important that emotional brain is in how it's affecting you across. And that's
everything.
Yeah,
that's right.
And so because, when you're saying we're looking at it wrong, it's because we're really focusing on those, like you say, the negative side of it, instead of letting that go and concentrating on allowing our creativity or that creative brain to come through. Is that right? Have I said that right?
Pretty much. I mean, but it is more fundamental than that. It's actually a lot simpler than that. And it's to realize that when you feel bad, stress, worry, whatever it is, it's a signal from your emotional brain, correct, that's producing chemicals to say it is interpreting your environment as being a threat to your survival.
Yep.
So what's happening, and this is deeper than your thoughts, because you might be thinking, well, I'm not thinking anything too negative, but why am I feeling so bad? Why am I reacting to something? But it's something very deep. It's a connection your brain has made in your emotional brain to say what this means is danger for you. So the stock market crashes, that's a threat to your survival. Your husband or wife tells you they want to leave you, that's a threat to your survival. It's not in reality a threat to your survival. Neither of those things are. Losing everything and ending up on your mother's couch is a threat to your survival, my brain thought, but it's not, is it? Because here I am now. So, but what happens is if you're feeling fear or worry or stress about something that's not an immediate threat to your survival, your brain is working the wrong way. You've trained it to see it as a danger that it's not. And of course, that's what it activates something called your sympathetic nervous system. Yeah. And that shuts out all this creative part of your brain. So what you need to do, and this is what I coach, there's really only three things you need to do. Firstly, you need to understand this is how your brain works. Because if you realize that fear is the enemy, and it doesn't matter how justified you feel, feeling afraid or worried or anxious, you might say, oh, well, there's all these things going on in my life. And I'm not trying to sound unsympathetic. I'm just explaining. It's a bit like getting into your car and having all the excuses in the world for not driving it the right way. But the reality is that's nothing. It's not going to work properly because it's mechanically not going to be able to work if you don't use it the right way, no matter how you feel about it. So you really need to start to understand, and this is what my mission is to help people understand, is this is the way your brain works. And then you say to yourself, when you realize that, well, there's no way I'd use it any other way. I know now that fear is the problem. I need to find ways to get rid of fear. And that leads you to the next thing you need to do is start to become very aware, what am I putting into my life, my thoughts, that's making me feel afraid, that's making me feel bad? And really start to guard yourself against it. You know, if someone gave you a glass of hydrochloric acid and said, drink this and I'll give you $1 million, you'd go, what? Or I'll give you $10 million then and you'll be really happy if you drink it. And you say, look, hang on, do you think I'm stupid? I know how my body works. I know what this does to my body. There's no way I'm going to take it because it's just going to really harm me. Oh, but if you pray hard enough or if you're motivated or if you have these, you know, positive affirmations, it won't damage you. No, it will. Of course it will. That's nonsense. And it's the same with negativity coming into your life. When you realize it's like the hydrochloric acid of your life, if you like, it's like a different sort of toxin coming in, you're going to say, doesn't matter what the justification, if it makes me feel bad, it's stopping me from living my life purpose. And so you're going to turn off the news. You're going to end that conversation with somebody that doesn't make you feel good. You're going to stop reading that thing that makes you feel bad. You're going to maybe separate yourself from people who don't make you feel good either, because you realize you can't live your life purpose when you're in a fearful state. That's it. That's the way your brain is designed to work. So, and the third thing you need to do, obviously, is once you start limiting or eliminating as much as you can the negativity that's making you feel bad, you need to start dealing with what's going on, what's already implanted in your head, in the way of what we were saying, this that you've what you've already put there to interpret as a danger when it isn't. And that's what my neurostate rebalancing process is all about, helping people to do. But you know, this, and this one really,
sorry, Liam, you just jumped in into your rebalancing. Sorry, what was it called again? It was
neurostate rebalancing.
Yes. And before we go into that, because that I'm loving that, I just wanted to let people know that you have got a book out and it is called Rebalancing Your Brain for Success. Okay. And that's by Liam Naden. So you can get that through Amazon, I'm guessing.
On my website.
On the website. Yep. Yeah. Beautiful. On the website.
Yeah. LiamNaden.com.
Beautiful, yep. So I just wanted to go those three areas. Is the first part, obviously, is being aware of how your brain's working. So we know now that we've got the thinking, the emotional, the survival, and the creative brain, how that they're working and how the emotions can affect all of them. So we need to be really mindful of that, that fear that's creating this control over all of them. The next part we need to look at, number two, was about the negative aspects in our life. So negative environments, negative people, negative things that are happening in the here and now, we need to start to filter them out. Turn off the news if it's starting to affect you, if you feel it is. When you're scrolling through Facebook or anything like that, be mindful of that, because I know that can have a lot of crap in it. That's the technical term. And the third part is to basically reflect, because we've already absorbed a lot of that information. So we need to get an understanding of the stuff that we have absorbed, we are still holding on to, and allowing that to be released or let go of that. And obviously we can do that through coaching and different aspects that, you know, one of the things that you provide in that aspect. But the way your tool, I guess that's what I would like to call it, your tool is this neurostate rebalancing process. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, basically it's a process I've created which teaches your brain the difference. Well, the first thing it does is help you identify what your fears actually are. Because many people say, well, I'm not afraid and I don't really have any fear, but, you know, I get stressed sometimes, or maybe I don't get stressed sometimes. But if you have problems in your life, it's because largely there is a fear underlying some aspect of the way you're living that is literally creating those problems. We haven't got time to explain my theories as to why that is, but it literally is the case.
Yes.
So what neurostate rebalancing, firstly, you start to identify what your fears actually are. And, you know, the funny thing was, what I realized, if I could just digress slightly, when I lost everything, what I realized was that the whole of my life up until that point had been dominated and driven by two underlying fears. One was the fear of not having anything, and the other was the fear of not being loved. And maybe many people share those fears. But I realized that my whole life, all my decisions, everything I was doing was based on those two fears. And that's why the fear of not having anything, I kept wanting more. I kept striving for more. I kept buying into this thing that I have to, you know, be more, do more, have more, whatever it is. And that made me make really bad decisions. It made me not happy. It made me stressed, always striving for more, because there was that underlying fear. And not fear of not being loved put me in inappropriate relationships, ones that were destructive for me, that weren't good for me. So these underlying fears, most of which we're not aware of what they actually are, you need to bring them to the surface and understand what they are. And then when you do, you need to get your brain to see that, to realize that those fears aren't life-threatening. That even if you lost everything, even if you weren't loved, which both of which happened to me, obviously, they're not life-threatening. In fact, quite the opposite. Because your creative brain, if you let it do it, it turns those things into gifts for you. You know, it's the best thing that ever happened to me was losing everything. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have this understanding that I do. I wouldn't have been able to create a much better life. I wouldn't be able to contribute to myself and other people with any of this stuff if that hadn't happened to me. So it was a great gift. And in fact, most of the things we call bad things in our life end up being, they are gifts. When you raise your awareness, raise your perspective, in other words, live from your creative brain, and you see that everything is perfect, which it actually is. So you have to get your brain to see the difference that somebody telling you they don't like you, somebody telling you that your business has just collapsed, or that you've lost all your money, or that someone wants to leave you, or they might, or that you have an argument with somebody. None of those are life-threatening situations. They're not designed to be. You don't want your brain putting you into survival state to try and react against those things when they're not real threats, when they're not real dangers, because the solutions to those problems are all in your creative brain. That's when you need the only way you'll solve those problems is coming up with new and creative ideas and better ways to deal with it, not just reacting, not just doing the first thing that comes into your head to try and get out of a bit of pain. So that's what I've done with neurostate rebalancing. And when you do that, yes, you feel fear when you need to. When the lion comes out, when you're walking down the street and the car comes around the corner and you know it's off track and threatens to hit you, or whatever, that those very rare situations, and they are rare, because one of the things that happens is you damage your body when you're in that survival state. So it's only designed to be used in short bursts. It's not designed to be like most people are, in a constant state of stress or a near constant state of stress. So it's really important you only use that function for the very rare times that it's designed to be used. And you know what comes with living in your creative state? Understanding brings trust. Just like you trust your car, you're not getting out every 5 seconds to see if it's still going in the right direction. You know it's designed to take you there, and it will. And when you live in your creative state, your natural state, you are in a much greater state of trust. And you know that everything's perfect, that everything's going to come along at the right time. And it does. That's the amazing part about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a really interesting, you know, I used to think, well, why hasn't anyone taught me this? Why the most important machine that we have, no one's ever taught us how it works?
Mm.
And I thought, actually, we have been taught how it works. You know where we've been taught how it works? You know where one of the best manuals for using your brain the right way is? It's actually in the Bible. And I was brought up a Christian and I studied the Bible. And I thought, this is all in the Bible, because what does it say in the Bible more than 360 times? Be not afraid. Have no fear. Have faith. Believe. Now, it's saying that not because, well, it might be a nice idea if you try not to be afraid so much, or, you know, it's just a suggestion. This is an instruction on how your brain works. When you feel fear, you're finished. You're not living your natural, that's not your natural state. It's only there for when there's an immediate threat. That's it. So don't be afraid. Be not anxious. Give no thought for tomorrow. Do not worry about what you shall eat, drink, or what you shall wear. Your creative brain will take care of all of that because it's biologically designed to do that. It's going to do everything it can from its almost infinite resources to make sure you live the best life possible. That's what you're here to do. That's what you're physically designed for. Yeah. So of course it's going to do that, but you need to understand that. You need to trust that and realize that when you feel fear, you're not trusting that. You're blocking it off. And that's why it's so important to say, be not afraid to yourself. Whatever you can do, get rid of this fear stuff. Whatever it takes, you have to do it. That's it. It's the only way the machine works.
Okay. All right. So let me just renege on that, or go over that again. I can't even think of the words. So we've got the four brains. We've got the three understandings to be aware, look at the negative aspects, and then sort of to reflect back and get an understanding of what we've already absorbed. We need to look at the fear aspect. So we've got underlying fear aspects, and we can do that through coaching or through other areas. And you're saying now that another way to get through the fear is to say fear not, or just remind yourself, use a mantra to remind yourself not to be fearful. So you're saying that sort of side of it as well. So getting that understanding that we don't have to live in that fearful state.
I think the key to, because I tried all these mantras and all that, and unfortunately I didn't find them very effective, because it's happening on a more fundamental level in your brain. And the problem with repeating an idea, I used to practice affirmations for years, like hundreds of times a day I'd read what I had on my little card. But the problem with repeating something that you don't actually believe is what you're actually saying to yourself is, this isn't true. And it comes from a fear state. You're saying, I'd really like to believe this. I need to believe this. I want to believe this. I am a millionaire. I'm not really, but I, you know, And it's all coming from a fear-based state. And that's why it doesn't work. And that's why most goal setting doesn't work either, because it comes from a fear-based limited state. There's a type of goal, which is the goal that when you know you're going to get something. And that's a very different type of goal to wishing that and hoping you get something and wanting something so that you, because you think that will make you happy and it will take away your pain. You know, my thread's gone on that one, sorry. But basically, if you want to solve problems in your life, you have to be happy to start with. When you're happy, you solve problems. You don't solve problems and then you're happy. It's the other way around. You have to be happy to start with. So anything you do from a fear base, setting goals, trying to achieve something, saying to yourself that there's lack in your life and you need something else, or you're motivated and determined, you'll do everything to get it, that's all from a fear-based state. That's all saying, I can't be happy until I've got it, and I need to try and control it and make sure that happens before I can be happy. But in your creative state, you see the perfect... What happens in your creative state, your awareness changes and you start to see the truth. And one of the truths you start to see is there's nothing wrong with you. Everything's perfect. There are no problems. I know it sounds, you know, and people are probably thinking, oh, this guy, what planet is he on? Of course, I've got all these terrible problems. But in your creative state, you have a different awareness about your life. And that's when you can start putting it together. You can't put it together from anything based on fear. It's just not what it's designed to do.
I absolutely agree with you. I totally get that. I don't necessarily believe that mantras are coming from a fear based all the time. I feel that's
no.
And you've
I didn't mean that.
Yeah,
but if they do,
that the Bible has thou shalt not fear or whatever so many times in it. So obviously they're repeating it. So it's not that repeating is something or a mantra or anything like that is bad or is coming from a fear base. It's how you are interpreting it, how you're looking at it. So I totally get that. And there is so many different ways that we can look at it and go ahead with that. So but I love the concept of it. I love how you've explained it and the areas that you look at, because when we do get into that creative state, when we do start to flow, we do feel that happiness within us and it does come through. And then when we're making decisions, when we're in that state, then they're always of a more positive nature. So the way you're explaining it, I just really love it. I think it's a fantastic way to look at it. And the other aspect in doing the podcast, and also Liam's got his own podcast, which is called Using Your Brain for Success. So you can jump onto that too and have a look at that. But when you're doing the podcast, I get so many guests through, and they present very, very similar information in a very unique way. And that's what I feel you have done, Liam. You've presented this information, which to me is, I've heard it all before, but I've never heard it in this way. And the beauty of that is that it's going to really resonate with certain people, and they're the ones that are going to be your people. They're the ones that are going to be connecting with you and going to you, because I really like that way that you've presented it. I love the simplicity, and yet I know it's very, very much deeper than that. We both know it's very, very much deeper than that. But getting that simplicity gives you that efficacy, that self-efficacy, that we can do it. You know, I can do it, because it does sound simple. I can do that. And then, of course, you're there to support and help people go along. So I really appreciate you. We are running out of time. Sorry, that's why I'm sort of wrapping it up. Yeah. But have you got anything, any last words that you'd like to say, anything you'd like to share before we say goodbye?
I just really want to make that point again that, you know, life is not meant to be a struggle. It really isn't. If you look anywhere in nature, and we don't spend enough time just going out and spending time in nature, but if you go and look at a bird, spend 5 minutes looking at a bird in its natural environment. There's no struggle. There's no stress. It's doing exactly what it needs to do in every moment to survive and thrive and be the best that it can be. There's life and death, but there's not really any struggle. And that's the way we're supposed to be. And despite all of the beliefs we've grown up with, or the fact that life is hard and you have to, you know, what is it? No pain, no gain and all that. those none of those things are true. That they just don't make any biological sense. And what I'm trying to, I hope people are getting from this is logical. This makes sense. I'm not just coming up with these ideas based on, you know, some fantastic theory. This is logical sense. So once we understand that and we can start to trust our creative brain to bring us the life we want, when you start doing that, magic starts happening in your life, and then it gets more and more, and you start to go, well, I can see this is the way it works, and better think, and you start to expect better things are going to come, and they will, because that's what you're here for. That's what your brain's frantically trying to do, is saying, look, get out of the way, stop being afraid and blocking me from doing my job, and I'll give you the life you want. That's what, you know, that's what you're supposed to be experiencing. So I hope that's the message that's come through.
Yes, that's fantastic. Thank you, Liam. Sorry, I do have to wrap it up. we're getting very late. Thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate that. If you want to connect with Liam, we did tell you the connection is down in the description below, but it is liamnaden.com. So liamnaden.com. You can connect with him there and have a look at it. But it was a lovely way to present it, because we've got guests on that can present things that are a little bit, not airy-fairy, but they can get a little bit almost, I don't know, too soft, almost too, I love to have that analytical aspect. That's me. I love to get the understanding of it. I like to know the why. I like to know behind the scenes. And Liam's brought that forward, and it makes perfect sense the way he was bringing it forward and showing us. So connect with Liam and you'll be able to get a better understanding on that. Have a look at his website. It's a good website. But for that, we would love you to like, subscribe and share the podcast. I have got free flower readings if you want to jump in on intuitive personal development with Susan Jane at Facebook group, and we can connect that way, or jump on the website and have another look at some of the other podcasts we've got going. And what else have I got? The online courses too, how to trust your intuition, those sort of things. So that's me for today. Have a great week, and I will catch up with you next week. Bye for now.